funding for Think is made possible by SMU Continuing and Professional Education.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. Whatever happened to good manners in America? Do we need an entirely new set of rules to guide our etiquette in the age of smartphones, dumb emails, and regrettable Facebook posts? My guest today decided to explore not only how the expectations of polite society have changed in America, but whether our efforts to be gracious and courteous still matter. Henry Alford writes for Vanity Fair, The New Yorker, and The New York Times, and he makes frequent contributions to NPR. His new book is called Would It Kill You to Stop Doing That? A Modern Guide to Manners. Henry, welcome to Think.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me.
So this is not a book about shrimp forks and engraved invitations. What do you mean when you say good manners?
Well, Samuel Johnson's phrase for good manners was fictitious benevolence. I think that's a pretty good summing up of what I'm talking about. You know, it strikes me that the sort of the prevailing ethos of manners today is, you know, do what makes you feel comfortable, mm-hmm. or do what makes other people feel comfortable. Well, frankly, you know, comfortable is not such a pretty picture. You know, my comfortable is underpants and a box of frozen waffles. I don't think everyone wants to see that.
So are good manners inherently altruistic?
I think that they're inherently empathic. Altruistic suggests that there's never any self-interest to them. And I think we have to be realistic and admit that, yes, sometimes good manners are about our survival skills, if you will. So, you know, I don't think that we can say that manners today are getting worse. I think that we can say manners today are getting more and more relative.
Mm-hmm. And they matter more because we interact more, not only with the people in our ever more crowded cities and at work, but online.
Yeah, no, exactly. You know, for me, the metaphor is that life is like a public bathroom and we are all perpetually inheriting the toilet seat. That every time you emerge from a public bathroom, that everyone's going to assume that the state of that toilet seat is of your doing, even if you were just in the bathroom to mess with your hair. Yeah, I think there's responsibility there.
You point out that pretty much all of us assume we have good manners. Is that at least encouraging to you in that it indicates we realize we should pride ourselves on our manners?
Oh, that's interesting. I think that's a very charitable way of looking at it, Chris. I think that it's really important that we all cop to our own misdeeds and our own bad behavior. I think that everyone's first reaction to manners is always that bad manners are something someone else has. Mm-hmm. We always have a rationalization for our own misdeeds. But I think that if we each, until a year ago, I was someone who, when I met someone with a heavy foreign accent, I would very often ask them, "Where are you from?" Because I'm someone who loves to travel and hear about other countries. Well, if that person with a heavy accent is someone who's living in the United States, that's my question is very possibly a rude one, because that's someone who probably wants to be perceived as American much more than he wants to be perceived as Nigerian or Serbo-Croatian.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting about rude questions, though, because we've all been asked them. We've probably all asked them ourselves. I mean, how important is intention in deciding what's rude and what's not?
I think intention is huge. Yeah, because I think, yeah, we want to focus on substance, not on form. But I guess it's simply, to me, there's so many questions that people ask others that are rooted in ignorance. I have one chapter where I talk to about 40 people in different professions and ask them, you know, what unintentionally rude questions are you asked? And, you know, lawyers are always being asked, are you billing me for this phone call? Or doctors are often asked, how long have you been practicing? Students who have missed classes will ask a teacher, did I miss anything last week? You know, as if, no, we just sat in the room and stared at the doorknob for 2 hours.
Right. eating bonbons.
Exactly.
Well, you know, you point out even this fact, which is shocking to me, but as a gay man, there are people who will ask you about your sex life that they would never think of asking someone who's heterosexual.
Exactly. No, and I don't know why that is even on their mind.
A similar thing is
I've heard three stories now of mixed race mother-child combinations, usually black mom with a white child, who are playing in a park, and someone walks up to them and asks the mother, how much do they pay you an hour?
Huh.
What are those folks thinking? You know, it's none of their business, A, and B, you never ask someone how much, you know, what their income is or questions that get at their sexuality.
So, Henry, you started this exploration of manners in, of all places, Japan, which in some ways is like taking your first dance lesson from Fred Astaire. I mean, Japan is a place that takes manners very seriously.
It is the Fort Knox of the World Manners Reserve. It's huge in the manners world. I think that for me, the interesting takeaway there was this idea that Japanese people have a sense of community. As one Japanese fellow told me, he said, you know, I would never eat on the subway because to do that would paint a bad picture of Japanese people. I don't think any American would ever think that way, unless they were traveling abroad. You know, maybe they would think, oh, I don't want to be an ugly American. But here within the U.S., I don't think anyone's thinking that way.
You have this extraordinary story of ducking into, I guess it was a shoe store, looking for directions to this restaurant you couldn't find. Can you tell us that story?
This guy. So I'm lost in Tokyo trying to find this restaurant. I nip into the shoe store, just duck my head in and say, I'm so sorry, could you help me find this restaurant? And the gentleman says, 1 minute, sir. Goes into the back room, gets an umbrella as it was raining, comes outside, puts me under the umbrella, and walks with me two blocks north. We take a left, then we walk two more blocks north. We take a right, we go down into the subway, through a door, take a left, turn around the corner. He points with his hand and says, that is your restaurant, sir.
Huh. And experiences like that left you, you don't really speak Japanese, but it left you wanting a word bigger than thank you.
Right. I mean, I was abject. I didn't know how to convey, you know, that's altruism right there. There was no profit to be derived from it. He was just being an incredibly lovely person. And yeah, that was a real lesson.
You know, reading about that story, though, it made me think that as Americans, we're not very well equipped to deal with that level of altruism. I mean, I think if it were me, I would have stopped him halfway there and said, that's enough. You please go. It's too much.
It's true. No, I felt kind of guilty.
Uh-huh.
I wondered, oh, should I go back to that shoe store and you know, leave a small basket of fruit? I didn't know how to handle it. But there you go.
The gift thing is also interesting. I recall in high school we had a lovely girl from Japan, a Japanese exchange student. And, you know, the second week of class, she brought little presents for everybody. And we all said, well, isn't that sweet? And didn't think another thing of it. Years later, I realized that her expectation must have been that we would all bring her little gifts the next day. And I don't think anybody did.
Right. No, it's true that a lot of that formality does come with the expectation of reciprocity. And that's why it was so interesting for me to sort of immerse myself in that situation and see how this attention to decorum works mostly for better, but sometimes for worse. I had another incident where I went into a grocery store and wanted to buy some bananas and broke off four bananas from a bunch and went to the cash register. And the look of horror on the guy's face at the cash register, I mean, I thought he was going to reach out and rip a vein out of my neck.
It's almost like you licked the grapes and then left them there or something.
Exactly. And weirdly, at the time, I had a rubber band in my pocket, and so because he didn't speak any English and I didn't speak any Japanese, I pulled the rubber band out and sort of pantomimed, "Oh, do you want me to tie them back on?" No, that would be even worse. Then I pantomimed, "Oh, do you want me to put them back on the shelf where I got them?" No, that would be even worse. And then, yeah, finally, I was left with the impression that these bananas, they were going to be incinerated in some sort of purification ritual at dawn.
Henry Alford is my guest. He writes for Vanity Fair and The New Yorker and The New York Times. He also makes frequent contributions to NPR. His new book is called Would It Kill You to Stop Doing That? A Modern Guide to Manners. We'll resume our conversation with Henry in just a couple of minutes. Right now, we are inviting you to join the conversation at 1-800-933-5372. But before you do that, we would ask that you join the station as a supporting member. And you can do that online at kera.org. Or on the phone at 1-888-694-6931. Jeff Whittington, senior producer of Think, is here now. And Jeff, if anyone wants to read this book, which is thoroughly charming, we do have it available as a thank you gift available at the $120 contribution level or above.
We do. Chris, all you have to do is call 888-694-6931. Or go online to kera.org and click and join there. And during Think Today, we have a special challenge in play, Chris, from Carruth Haven Court, an assisted living community in Dallas since 1998.
Yeah, Carruth Haven Court will give KERA an additional $500 if 30 of you, 30 listeners, make contributions before the end of this hour, so by 1 o'clock. We have 25 left to go. We started the hour with 30. Thank you to the five of you who have been online or been on the phones making contributions in any amount. Right now, if you join this group, we can get down to this amount. You know, $500 extra dollars is a big deal for us, and we appreciate Carruth Haven Court for this, and we appreciate all of you who will make this possible.
Now, I have a few folks to thank who have joined the station in the last hour or so, maybe during the fresh air that immediately preceded the show here. Michael Kellum and Carrollton, thank you so much. Also to Kirk Gills in Dallas, Linda Ray in Dallas. We also heard from Julie Malcolm in Louisville, Evelyn Stoffel in Dallas, Connie Harris in Grapevine, and thank you to Matthew and Kelly Tabbert in Dallas.
Thank you so much, Frank Andriola in Arlington, and Farah in Tyler, Rosalie Douglas in Carrollton, Darren St. Roman in Dallas, Alan and Dee Johnson in Plano, and Joel Smith in Fort Worth.
I want to thank Carruth Haven Court, an assisted living community in Dallas since 1998. They have placed a challenge. This is our first challenge during Think for this winter membership campaign. There's a $500 additional gift to KERA from Carruth Haven Court. If 30 of you make a contribution at any amount, at any level, you can renew your membership, you can make an additional gift. You can become a brand new member by calling 888-694-6931, 1-888-694-6931, or click and join at kera.org. And don't forget, you can get your very own copy of Would It Kill You to Stop Doing That? A Modern Guide to Manners by our guest this hour, Henry Alford, when you join the station at the $120 membership level.
Maybe the best title of a book examining manners and etiquette that I have ever seen. You know where your money goes when you make a contribution to KERA, because you hear it at work every single day of the year. You hear it in this show, you hear it in Jeff's show, you hear it in all the national programming that comes in that we pay for in order to provide to you, and you hear it in the stories of our award-winning news staff. We are very proud to be able to bring this to you, and it is because of your support that it's possible. Go online now. Help us to achieve this challenge grant of 30 listeners by the end of the hour. You can get to us at kera.org or at 1-888-694-6931 on the phone. We'll be back in about 2 minutes with Henry Alford.
Funding for Think is made possible by SMU Continuing and Professional Education. You can enrich your career with new certificate programs in web design, graphic design, and paralegal studies. Learn more at smu.edu/CAPE.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. My guest this hour is writer Henry Alford. He writes for Vanity Fair, The New Yorker, and The New York Times. You may have heard him on NPR. His new book is called Would It Kill You to Stop Doing That? A Modern Guide to Manners. You can join our conversation by calling in to 1-800-933-5372, or you can send email to think@kera.org. Henry, I was fascinated to read what you have in the book about prison etiquette, because I confess it's something I hadn't thought much about before, and yet it makes perfect sense that people living right on top of one another for a very long time need some rules for behavior. Henry, are you with us?
It's like that old joke about academia,
mm-hmm.
Where, you know, why is academia so backbiting? Because the stakes are so low. Well, in prison, the stakes aren't really low because, of course, you know, being killed is an option. Yet those circumstances are so reduced of props and stuff for people to interact with that prisoners have constructed a very elaborate system of behavior. Lots of stuff about if someone sends you food, you don't put it on the bed. They have a ritual about knocking twice on the table at dinner when you're getting up to leave. And, you know, if I said to you, a highly prioritized system of behavior amongst a raging elite, you might think I'm referring to an Edith Wharton novel, but no, I'm actually describing prison life.
Yeah, we actually interviewed a woman last year who had been incarcerated, and one of the first things she had to learn was she was not to sleep under the covers because it would mess up the way the bed was made for the next day when they had inspection.
Oh, right.
So it's something I hadn't really thought about before.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's really fraught.
So the thing that people always jump all over these days is how we all use our phones and how they keep us from interacting in the real world. I was watching TV the other night, and there was some sort of session of Congress, and behind the speaker were a group of people I presume were aides, and every single one of them had their faces down and their thumbs in their laps, clearly paying no attention. It's funny that even people who have learned you don't do this in a restaurant have no problem doing it in a meeting where ostensibly they should give their attention elsewhere.
Right. It's so incredibly rude. Or I'm someone who goes to a lot of movies, and people are constantly texting. And, you know, to see these people's bodies being suddenly lit up in the darkness, it looks like they're being summoned by their alien leader.
And why do you think everybody, goes ahead with this, assuming that an exception will be made for them?
Well, I think there's this problem with the instantaneousness of the internet. I think that now that we can bank and buy food and live our lives online and do it at the click of a button, that I think people are bringing that sense of immediacy to real life situations. Mm. I think there's this huge impatience. What people need to realize is, you know, that girl behind the car rental desk, her name is not Google. she simply cannot generate and amass and organize data and information as quickly as a computer can.
Hmm. I confess I've struggled with whether or not to approach someone who appears to be engaged on their phone. You know, you almost want to assume that they're doing something important, so you ought not to interrupt them if you see a friend in public, for example, who is texting away.
Yeah, and maybe they are. So that would be complicated for you to broach that. It gets to this idea that modern manners are increasingly relative. Typically, I find it really rude if a friend whips out a cell phone and answers a phone call in front of me. But I don't feel that way if it's a working mother, for instance, or I don't feel that way if it's someone who has someone in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of extenuating circumstances. Or, you know, what if you go to a bar with a friend who's gone on two dates with some guy and she runs into him? Then suddenly it might be very lovely for you to pretend that your cell phone has rung in order to give the lovebirds some space.
Hmm. I've also wondered if maybe we use our phones now to create little zones of privacy around ourselves where they don't exist. If you're sitting on a crowded bus or if you are, you know, in the middle of a group of people and you pull that phone out, it's like a statement that says, I need to be alone for a minute.
Sure, absolutely. And I have done that if, you know, sitting in a restaurant alone. This just happened to me yesterday in San Francisco, and the couple who were sitting maybe 10 inches away from me at the next table, their conversation started to get a little intimate. So the first thing I did was whipped out the cell phone and pretended to be looking at my email.
As a courtesy to them?
Yeah.
Did you actually listen?
Well, Chris,
I guess we can leave that to the imagination.
Dot, dot, dot.
1-800-933-5372 is our number. We're speaking this hour with Henry Alford, whose new book is called Would It Kill You to Stop Doing That? A Modern Guide to Manners. Let's go on the phones now to Paula in Dallas. Hello, Paula.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Very well. Thank you.
Good. Love the show.
Thank you.
I wanted to know the author's viewpoints on gum chewing, because I have a personal, it bugs me when I'm in a store and a clerk is chewing gum. I can see it. I can hear it. Do you cover that in the book?
I don't cover gum chewing. It's a tricky one. I think if you're entering that person's environment, then, as you're describing, Paula, when you go into a store, I think you sort of have to give over to what they're doing. If it's a situation where, if that person were coming into an environment where the gum chewing was likely to hurt someone's feelings, like if they're chewing gum at a funeral or at some sort of august occasion, then yes, I do think you have a right to say something.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. We have Rita on the line in Grand Saline. Hi, Rita.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to ask your guest if he covers, or if not, even just his thoughts on indigenous manners in different parts of the country. I grew up in West Texas, and we had very stout rules and manners that we had to adhere to. However, if we prefaced a statement with God bless them or God bless them, then it negated any derogatory remark. You could say anything.
It's a free pass.
And I just wondered what your thoughts are on that.
I love that. What a great technique. I call that sort of thing a preempt. When you put a little piece of information up front that affords you a certain amount of wiggle room. My mother, when she is at a dinner party, she will turn to the person on the left or the right and the right of her and say to them, I'm hard of hearing, so that if any of my comments tonight seem absurdist, don't take it personally. And I think it's kind of wonderful in some instances when people, sort of let you know up front the rules. And it sounds like the God love you, that might be like a little warning signal. There's a great one that Dolly Parton does, that apparently when Dolly meets a male fan who is understandably tongue-tied in the presence of Dolly and her bodily awesomeness, Dolly will sometimes take that gentleman's head and smash it into her bosom. Welcome to Dollywood. And that just creates a little cushion before the rest of the events.
I wonder, though, I wonder if that's not her lesson to them. Like, hello, I'm a whole person. Get this out of the way. It doesn't sound to me so much like fun as like a don't you do that again.
Right, because that's a fellow who would never be tongue-tied again. It's true. That could go either way.
So talk about this. You've had some adventures in what you call reverse etiquette, which seems to have very little effect on the other person in the interaction, but at least makes you feel better.
It's true. Well, this is, in fact, how the book started. I was in my grocery store in Greenwich Village in New York City, and the gal at the cash register dropped my apple on the ground and then, without apologizing, put it in my bag. And I will, you know, I'm not proud to admit this, but yes, like as with most people, there is an angry little man living inside of me. So I decided to do a reverse apology. So I said to her, "Oh, I'm sorry," and she said nothing. And then I said, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean for you to drop my apple like that," at which point she sort of stared off into the mid-distance as if receiving instructions from outer space. And then about a week later, I was at a pizza parlor getting a slice of pizza, and the guy said at the register said, "I can't take a 20." And I said, "Oh, well, would it bother you if I went around the corner and got change?" And he said, "Sure." I came back, no sort of contrition or thanks from him. So I said, "Well, I hope I haven't inconvenienced you here." That was my cue, which he did not pick up. So yeah, my feeling is that I'm going to apologize for other people simply so that the words "I'm sorry" are out there in the universe.
Yeah, you know, it's happened to me before when someone has crashed into me, and my first instinct, whether I think it's my fault or not, is to apologize simply because that's what you do. And yes, I've had many people accept my apology for them bumping into me.
Right, and sometimes it can work. I mean, if you are a fan of the Mary Tyler Moore Show, as I am, you may remember that Lou Grant originally hired Mary at the station because she bumped into a chair and apologized.
There was something charming about that.
Exactly.
Henry Alford is here. He writes for Vanity Fair, The New Yorker, and The New York Times. He also makes frequent contributions to NPR. His new book is called Would It Kill You to Stop Doing That? A Modern Guide to Manners. We'll come back to our conversation with Henry in a couple of minutes. If you'd like to be part of it, call 1-800-933-5372 or send an email to think@kera.org. Want to remind you that we are in our winter membership campaign right now, trying to raise the funds it takes to keep this station on the air, to keep bringing you interesting guests like Henry Alford talking about interesting subjects like etiquette and manners and how we all succeed and fail at various times in our lives. We have copies of the book available when you make a gift of support at the $120 level or above today. The number is 1-888-694-6931, or you can take care of this online at kera.org. Hello again, Jeff.
Hello, Chris. And, you know, we never apologize for fundraising. We are a little sorry that, you know, we have to interrupt the conversation for a minute. But you know what? The thing is that this drive, we're trying something new, and our goal is to raise all the money that's necessary in half the time. So we're looking for a 12-day drive instead of the 24-day long drive we had last January. So, we're not sorry that we're fundraising, because this is how we raise the money to keep your public radio station on the air. And this is how we know who we work for. We work for you. When you send money to the station, you're actually responding directly, and it cuts out all the middle people that are really unnecessary, because public radio is radio for you.
When you make your gift of support or an additional gift in this hour between now and 1 o'clock, you can help us to receive the challenge grant amount from Carruth Haven Court, which is an assisted living community in Dallas since 1998. They have promised to give the station an additional $500 if 30 of you make contributions before the end of the hour. We have 18 left to go. Your contribution right now will make it possible for us to receive that extra $500. And you might choose to receive a copy of Would It Kill You to Stop Doing That by Henry Alford. Really fun book. Not so much a question and answer etiquette book as a series of essays about what it means to have manners. And it's very, very funny in addition to being really thought-provoking. So I would recommend it.
We've all been there. And I think what's so great about the conversation on the show today, Chris, is that everyone can relate to all the stories that Henry is telling, because we've all been there in the grocery store when something's happened, or in the parking lot, or at the post office or the DMV, fill in the blank. We all have to live together. And one great thing about radio is that you get to consume it typically on your own.
So no one can see what you're doing.
Right. You don't have to worry about, people getting in your way or being rude. But the interview is really great, and it's captivating. And I'm a little worried that we've strayed into the territory of, gosh, this is just way too interesting for me to call this is way too interesting for me to go online and make a contribution. Well, that's why we're taking this quick break right now, is to remind you of how much you enjoy the Think Show and all the programming that you hear on KERA, and to remind you that the number is 888-694-6931. That's the toll-free number, 1-888-694-6931. Or click and join at kera.org.
I was thinking about this this morning, Jeff. I have a group of friends, and we get together often with our families at someone's house or at a park, and everybody brings something to eat, maybe something to drink, and it's just sort of understood that everybody who shows up will contribute something. Now, you know, if someone's had a really rough week and they forgot to stop and pick something up, nobody says anything, nobody polices it, nobody really even would interfere. But you don't want to be that person who never shows up with anything.
You talk about it when they're gone, though, don't you?
No, not really. Well, if they never, I'll tell you that if someone never brought anything, we'd probably notice. But I'm saying it's like public radio. Like, you know, we can't you know, come after you,
right,
and make a mean,
sure,
phone call. But
nor would we.
But you don't want to be that person who shows up every time, takes everything you can get, feeds all your kids. Maybe you don't have four kids like I do, but you know, I would never show up without anything because we use the food that people bring. And it's the same thing with the radio station. I use so much KERA that I would not consider not making a contribution.
That's a great parallel, Chris. And you know, the door is open. There's a place at the table. You know, bring what you can, and you can bring it by calling 888-694-6931. I like that. Bring it. online at kera.org. It's very easy, very simple for you to make your contribution. And don't forget, there are a couple of extra special reasons to contribute during this hour. One is that we're offering Henry's book, Would It Kill You to Stop Doing That? A Modern Guide to Manners. When you join the station with a contribution of $120 or more, that's just $10 a month when you become a sustaining member. And we have this challenge in play right now, and we're getting an update right now on where we are.
We are halfway there, 15 left to go. We can't assume with 15 left to go that we'll make it, but your call will make it, will bring us that much closer. There are some of you out there who will only actually call when we have, say, fewer than five. So if you are not one of those people, call now so we can get those people, the last five people, in the door.
Again, Carruth Haven Court, an assisted living community in Dallas since 1998, will give KERA an additional $500 if we hear from 30 listeners with contributions by the end of the hour. We have 15 left to go, so be the next one to call 888-694-6931 or click and contribute at kera.org.
Back in just a couple of minutes with Henry Alford.
Funding for Think is made possible by SMU Continuing and Professional Education. You can enrich your career with new certificate programs in web design, graphic design, and paralegal studies. Learn more at smu.edu/CAPE.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. My guest this hour is writer Henry Alford. His new book is called Would It Kill You to Stop Doing That? A Modern Guide to Manners. Join our conversation at 1-800-933-5372 or email think@kera.org. Henry, let's talk about Facebook, because there are many discussions these days about the hazards of Facebook for the very young and their ill-considered nudity and intoxication photographed for all the world to see. But people our age make a lot of gaffes as well, often simply because they're not thinking about what they're doing.
Yeah, and Facebook is sort of a border town of manners. It's a tricky one to talk about because often it's so close to advertising that people, so many of the things that people are writing there are, yes, they're either advertising their body or their child or their project. You know, a big one that's a question that keeps coming up is, can I use my sonogram picture as my profile
mm-hmm.
picture? The trouble with that, or even with you know, baby pictures or pictures of your kids, is you want to be very, very conscious of whether or not there are people in your friends list who are having trouble conceiving.
Yeah.
Because that could hurt someone's feelings. Similarly, you want to be really careful about posting pictures of parties that not everyone in your friends group was invited to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny. I have seen on occasion people who have listed a concert and they tag, you know, that nine of their friends were also invited to this event. And it doesn't particularly bother me, but I'm sure there are those who say, well, why was I not asked along?
Yeah, no, it does. That does bother me because I don't know why that is. It's whatever form of slight insecurity, but I hate it when my friends, you know, even in conversation, when they start blabbing about events or parties that our mutual friends hosted to which I was not invited.
1-800-933-5372 is our number. Let's go to Mike in Dallas. Hey, Mike.
Hi there. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Henry's comment before the break made me laugh about saying, I'm sorry, when it's the other person who actually should be saying that. I have a similar response, but my wife actually thinks it's rude to lack your opinion from it. When I hold the door open for some stranger, I stop and wait for them to come through. You kind of expect somebody to say thank you or a recognition of a smile or something. When I don't get that, I usually say, you're welcome. Now, my wife thinks that's rude. What's your take on that?
Well, like my reverse apologizing, yes, I do actually think it is a little bit rude, but I hear you, Mike. I'm right there with you. I think you are giving voice to your angry little man, and Lord knows we all have to do that from time to time.
Let the homunculus out.
Exactly.
You know, though, it's funny. The door thing, it seems like such a small thing, and all you have to do to be flooded with good humor and love for all humanity is to be thanked, and when you're not somehow, it just sort of ruins the next 20 minutes of your life.
Right, exactly. And there's where, you know, you were talking about this expectation thing with vis-a-vis Japan. That's a real hurdle that we need to vault over, is that we need to be able to to engage in good manners without needing the world to act decorously back, because one of the great ironies of manners is that the people who are enforcing them are very often ruder than the initial violators.
Yeah.
It's like the shusher in the movie theater is always much louder than the people talking.
Yeah, they feel so entitled to that shush.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. So don't be one of those people, Mike.
We have an
Mike.
Email here from Paul and Terrell, who wants to know, at what point is it okay to use the old expression, that's none of your business?
Oh, wow. I think that wording is very strong. I would maybe push that person in the direction of the question, why do you ask? If someone asks you an impertinent question, like, how did your spouse die? Or if you're a gay couple, which one of you carried the baby? Or, you know, anything that gets medical or religious or, yeah, just in any way too personal, if you can say to them, why do you ask? And that throws the question right back at them.
Hmm. Yeah, and then it's sort of hard to come up with an answer if you don't have a real good reason to ask.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's go back to the phones now. This time we have Terry on the line in Paradise. Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Go right ahead, please.
Thank you for your show. I listen daily, and my pet peeve that I get all the time, because we do live in the Bible Belt, is, honey, what church do you go to? And I don't attend church. I am not a part of any organized religion, although I do practice. I have a spiritual path, and I'm always at a loss as to what to say, because that question to me is just as personal as asking someone about their sex life, and I feel it's entirely an inappropriate question, and I never quite know how to deal with that.
What do you think, Henry? Now, this may be more of a Texas thing, I'm guessing, than a New York City thing, but it happens here all the time.
Yeah, no, my mom recently moved to North Carolina, and it happens constantly to her, too. Mm-hmm. So it's a Southern thing. And I think that Terry is absolutely right. I don't think that's anyone's business. I think the best way to do it is just to make a kind of a little joke, or just to deflect the conversation. I don't think you want to be too heavy and say that's none of your business. I think you just want to say, you know, oh, I follow my own counsel or what have you, and yeah, just treat it lightly and then skitter away from the conversation, from that that conversational thread.
Let's go back to the phones now. This time we have Cynthia on the line in Fort Worth. Hi, Cynthia.
Hello. I'm calling to ask, and maybe I shouldn't even expect it, but should grandkids thank their grandparents when they get gifts, or is that something that shouldn't be?
I certainly expect my kids to thank their grandparents. What do you think, Henry?
Oh, absolutely, Cynthia. Yeah, I think that, you know, the most lovely way they can do it is with a handwritten note. But if it's, you know, sort of a spontaneous gift or a more casual gift, then sure, I think an email is fine. But either way, I think a formal thank you is necessary.
Let's speak now with John in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hey, John.
Hi.
Hi. Go right ahead, please.
My question was regarding, I was going to ask if he had any good stories for cultural differences. I know I lived overseas for a while in Italy, and it was funny there. I noticed a couple of little things. You know, picking your teeth after dinner with a toothpick. They're very discreet. They cover their mouth. As though to hide the hand with the toothpick, with their other hand, they sort of cup their mouth. And I just found it funny. And then, but yet at the same time, they would blow their nose quite loudly without hesitation.
It's a great point, John. You know, and I think that that's really the story of modern manners is, you know, it's almost as if each day we walk through a series of microclimates. That one thing amongst one group of friends is okay, but then you get to another group of friends and it's not okay. So I think that, you know, to have good manners today, it's not about memorizing some sort of Emily Post type list, but it's about being able to enter these situations and see that, oh, well, when I'm in this milieu, these folks are going to pick their teeth but cover their mouths while doing so.
And you're right, it's pretty much always acceptable to ask about protocol if you're not quite sure.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that anytime you're entering a new situation, be it, you know, you've got a new job or you're going to a foreign country, yeah, do a little research. It's not that difficult. You know, my big one with traveling is that every single American should know how to say thank you and excuse me in the language of the country that they're visiting.
Including this one.
Including the United States. That's something we all, you know, it might flit through your brain, but we tend not to actually do it. But I'm saying, you know, as you get on the plane, flip to the back of your guidebook, and there are those two expressions, and those are really going to help you.
Henry Alford writes for Vanity Fair, The New Yorker, and The New York Times. He also is frequently heard on NPR. His new book is called Would It Kill You to Stop Doing That? A Modern Guide to Manners. Henry, it's been a great hour. Thank you so much for spending this time with us.
Oh, thank you, Chris. This was really fun.
We want to thank all of you who have been calling in, going online to make contributions to the station. We truly appreciate your support, especially in this hour when we are hoping, at least, to be able to achieve this challenge grant offered by Caruth Haven Court, an assisted living community in Dallas since 1998. As you may recall, they have promised they will give KERA an additional $500 if during this hour of think we can receive a total of 30 contributions from listeners like you. We have two left to go. Please don't assume that will happen. If you can swoop in right now and be the hero, that would be great, because we've been this close before and had everybody think, great, they're taken care of, I'll wait. Please don't wait. Get in touch with us now. Make a contribution online at KERA.org or over the phone at 1-888-694-6931. Thanks, senior producer Jeff Whittington is back here in the studio with me again. Hey, Jeff.
Hello, Chris. I want to thank Donna Thompson in Newark who contributed, Rebecca Dixon in Dallas, G. Michael and Christine Miller in Fort Worth. We also heard from Nicole and Chris Loper in Dallas, Angela DuPont in Fort Worth, Bruce Hanford in Southlake, and David Phillips in Plano. Thanks so much to each of you. We'd love to read your name when you make your call to 888-694-6931 or your online contribution at kera.org.
Thank you so much, Suzanne Sayer in Frisco, Wayne Rogers in Haltom City, Bridget, I hope it's Q-Day in Denton, Frank Marino in Weatherford. Thank you, Judy Bruton in Dallas, Eloise Sears in Denton, and Joan and Tim Abrams in Plano. We really, really appreciate all of you who have made contributions. You make public radio happen, and we are so thankful that it's here, not only for us, but to serve the entire community.
Just to remind you, Caruth Haven Court, an assisted living community in Dallas since 1998, is going to give KERA an additional $500 if and only if we hear from 30 listeners with contributions by the end of the hour. We've made some great progress this hour, but we're still waiting for two of you, to call 888-694-6931 or to go online to kera.org and make a contribution at any level. If you're looking to make a new membership contribution, maybe you'd like to get your very own copy of Henry Alford's book that's available at the $120 membership level, or you can make an additional gift at any level and it counts as a contribution. But Chris, the book is, it's really entertaining.
It's delightful. It does make you think, but it also makes you laugh. It is not a preachy book so much as a book that examines the quandaries we all find ourselves in when we travel, when we interact with new people. There's a great section in here that we didn't get to talk to about party chit chat and all the strange little situations that come up there. I think it's a terrific book for anybody who cares about being polite in the world. A wonderful read. If you would like to receive a copy of it and you are ready to make your contribution to KERA, we can make that really easy for you today by making that your thank you gift at or above the $120 contribution level. That's about the average gift to the station, but of course you can make a contribution that is smaller than that, and absolutely we would invite you to consider, at least think about, a friends level membership of $1,500 or more. It can be broken out into monthly contributions of $125 over the course of the year, and your support at this level comes with some special benefits as well.
Yeah, you can get 7,500 American Airlines Advantage miles as a thank you gift. You also get invited to friends events throughout the year. When the friends get together, sometimes to meet NPR celebrities that come through or personalities. And, you know, there are also other little get-togethers and chances for the friends to do things here at the station. It's a level that, you know, if it's right for you, we would be thrilled to hear from you if it's time for you to renew your friends membership, or if you'd like to become a friend or increase your annual giving to the $1,500 level. Lines are open right now, 888-694-6931. And you can even make your friends contribution online at kera.org.
Still need two more contributions. I keep thinking we'll see that we need one contribution to go in order to make this challenge grant from Caruth Haven Court, an assisted living community in Dallas since 1998. They will give the station an additional $500 if we meet that goal of 30 listener contributions by the end of the hour. With two to go, your contribution right now could really sort of make you the hero. You can step in and make sure that we receive this additional $500. You know, I think maybe if you have listened to the station for years and have not become a member, it may just be because we're always here, because you just don't really think about it. You've listened to drive after drive after drive, and it's never really moved you to make a contribution. Please consider that everyone who is a regular contributor, or today a first-time contributor, was once like you and had not yet made a contribution, and then finally one day stepped up and said, wow, this really does matter to me, and I really would be devastated if it wasn't available. And so I'm going to, you know, make sure that it's here, that it's healthy. We're not expecting to have to go anywhere anytime soon, but that's because people give voluntarily, even when we are not in dire straits.
Yeah, other people have paid for the fact that you've listened to the station. Other people have made the programs possible.
Gladly
so. Helped the station to pay the bills, you know, the electric bill. All the bills that come with running a business, the salaries and the program acquisition fees, which are well over $1 million a year to bring you the national shows that you listen to. Well,
people have paid for that, and we're asking you now to do your part to help with that by calling 888-694-6931. And we have a great thank you gift, Henry Alford's book, Would It Kill You to Stop Doing That? A Modern Guide to Manners. It's available right now when you join the station with a contribution of at least $120. That's just $10 a month when you become a sustaining member of the station. So please do your part. Please do it right now.
The only downside to receiving this book as your thank you gift is that you need to block out pretty much several hours to read it from start to finish because you will not want to put it down. again, that's available at 1-888-694-6931 as a thank you gift with the $120 contribution level or above. You can also do this online at kera.org. Want to thank all of you who have been calling and going online through this hour. We were able, thanks to your generosity, to make the challenge grant for the hour. Thank you so much, Caruth Haven Court, assisted living community in Dallas. The Caruth Haven Court will give KERA now an additional $500. Greatly appreciate your help. If you are about to go online, please do so now at kera.org or on the phone at 1-888-694-6931.